Welcome back to Hanging with Heavy. Yes, that's right. Your favorite podcast about Justin Summers, Heavy Set, is back. The journey inside the mind of the man known as Heavy Set. I'm not bringing the show back full time. There are like a handful of shows that I really want to do, and I got to put it under the Hanging with Heavy umbrella. It's not coming back at any type of schedule. I might have a second episode that comes out right after this, but, and it's funny thing, I've been wanting to do some other things. Just talk about stuff that I can't do on Wrestling Cheers. There's like a couple things I want to shoot on and just like talk shit about, because that is what this show kind of became. There's two episodes that you're going to hear now. I haven't done it yet, but by the time you hear this, it's going to be done. I'm taking down two episodes from the archives, and it's only because I've used the show to vent my frustration, and then within like X amount of time after that, both things were resolved. And both things that I'm talking about, if you happen to remember the old episodes, is I had issues with the guy who's supposed to be my best friend. And I think we were kind of like working on it when I did that episode, but I just want to get it all out. And that helped me get a lot off my chest, and it helped me just to move forward and just work on my friendship. And like, we're doing a lot better. And then there was another episode. I talked about this podcast known as Kick Out of Two. The crazy since I've done an episode, the over a year plus that since I've done an episode, not only have we buried the hatchet, but, you know, I went down to Tennessee for Southern Underground Pro, which that podcast is somewhat a part of. And I spent the night at one of the guys' houses, and it's a complete 180. And now I don't feel the same way I did. And again, this was used to just vent my frustration. And there's some like things that I really want to shoot on again, just things that kind of piss me off, things that kind of annoy me. And I don't want to do it under the brand name of Wrestling Cheers, because it's people don't need that. But I need to vent. I need a place that I can just yell into this microphone and I can move forward. Well, with all that, like, this has been something on my mind of what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, I'm not coming here today to vent my frustration. I am here to talk about a really serious issue, a real serious event that just happened in my life, and I'm going to get emotional. My voice, you can hear it cracking right now. I'm probably going to cry. I'm going to keep mostly everything in, just taking out silences and keeping the flow of the show, but I want everything to be here. There's an episode that I did during the original run, and I'm not deleting it. It's one of the few that I'm keeping them right now, pulling out my phone to remember which episodes I'm... So I'll even throw just a callback of which episodes I'm getting rid of and which episodes... which episode I'm referring to right now. So the episodes I'm getting rid of are episodes, oddly enough, back-to-back, 14 and 15. And as you hear this, I mean, if you saved them, cool, you'll always have them, but I'm taking them down from Podbean. The episode in question is episode 10, is where I start to get real and I talk about something that has gone on in my life that some people can identify with, some people can't, and that is the issues I have with my father. Me and my dad, without going back, I mean, you can go back and listen to that episode. If you dig deep enough in the archives, you won't be able to find it on iTunes. You're going to have to go to Podbean, but we don't speak. And I talk about on that episode everything why and the kind of dad he was growing up. A lot of great things, but at the same time, he painted everybody in the picture of they always needed him, and they only came to him when they wanted something. And he did the same thing to me, and there was times, you know, I didn't call to want something. And, you know, there was times that I feel like he's my father, he needs to help me. But it was never always financially. Sometimes, like, hey, I got an issue, can you physically help me? And if you go back to that episode, it's the main topic of the show after the introduction. So I would like to do a whole update on where I am since the last episode of Hanging with Heavy for those who don't know. But I'm going to save that for the next episode. And going back to all that, I talk about the relationship my mother had with my father. And basically, you know, he left her in 2007 with no divorce. And technically to this day, there has been no divorce. And It's something that my mother has lived with. Well, I don't know how this is going to go format-wise. I don't know how I'm going to go in storytelling. There's a lot, but I have to begin with the phone call I got on Monday. I was driving for work, like I normally do, and anytime I see a Ravenna or Rootstown number, which is, you know, roughly where I'm from, I answer it. Technically, my job has a no cell phone policy, where you're not even allowed to be on a cell phone, like, hands-free. Like, most companies allow, this one doesn't. Well, I'd seen a Rootstown number come up. That rarely happens. So I reached for it really quick, grabbed my headset, and I answered. And in so many words, it was a friend of my mother saying a visiting nurse was trying to get a hold of her, couldn't, and when they came to the apartment, they found her deceased on the floor. That was the exact words that was used. And my mother's dead. We weren't the closest. It's partially why this kind of hits so hard, and things that have happened since I've done an episode. Me and my mother as a whole, we were never really close. I was closer to my father. And on top of everything, my mother, she had mental issues. I don't know how to describe it. It sounds like me coming off as a complaining son, someone who doesn't know what he's talking about, but my mother had issues. I'm going to paint a picture of what she went through in my lifetime. And it all started in the late 90s. There's some precursor stuff that I'll probably get to that I think makes everything even worse. In 1999, my grandmother, her mother, passed away at the age of 68. That is very young. My mother was also in her 60s. My mother actually had the benefit, though, of being in her 40s when this happened. I'm only 32. So she passes away in 99. I forget the exact reasoning, but the way that I put it, like my grandmother's life, it was a complication to being a diabetic. And if you go back to that episode, just a whole bunch of callbacks to old episodes, but I did a, like, what's the last hang, one of the last Hanging with Heavies I did, and it was called Changes. It came out on November 6th, 2017, episode 23. Second to last episode, yeah, because the last episode I did was the last Ask Heavy set. So grandmother, diabetic, she had both of her legs amputated separately. It was, you know, one leg, you know, started with some toes, and then it went from the knee down. And then the other, like, not that long after it, there was, like, a couple toes here and there, and then the other leg, knee down. So that's what I knew about being a diabetic. And when she passed away, I know she wasn't happy. My grandfather, this goes in with my mother. My grandfather was an abusive piece of shit. I can tell you some very positive things about him. That's something that I feel like I've learned in my life, is I will take a bad situation and I will find the positives. You have to make lemonade out of lemons. You have to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. It happens sometimes. It's the only way you can really go forward, because everybody has issues. Everybody runs into problems, and you know, I've had those low moments in my life. I think I've mentioned, you know, when me and my ex broke up, and like the 3 weeks before, you know, I found Zool, or I was able to buy Zool. Like, those were a very lonely time in my life. And, you know, things that have changed for those who listen to other shows. Yes, I've moved multiple times since then. And now I'm living in an apartment with my girlfriend, Amanda. We've been here over a year, and I look at everything that I have, and I think of the one night that I moved out of my ex's and had all of my belongings in my mother's garage in a pile. And like, I'm still progressing. I'm still getting better. I still have ups and I still have downs. So going back to what everything was, my grandfather, as like I can, like I said, pull some positives out about him, but the whole point is he was abusive, and I think more than physically, I think growing up, he probably said things to mentally abuse my mom, and I don't know the life my mom had, but she didn't have high self-esteem her whole life. She didn't have a driver's license, so it was either my dad or me taking her places, and, you know, toll on her. So my grandmother, like I said, passed away in 99. And then the next couple of years, it's hard for me to remember what happened when, what happened before My grandmother passed away, but there was like my aunt. The story of her life was, you know, I know she was married in 92, divorced like 4 years later, got into a really bad car accident. I forget whose fault it was or what exactly happened. I don't think it was drunk driving on her part. So she went through a lot of rehabilitation. She ended up getting ovarian cancer, and she did go into remission, but like the last year or so of her life, she stressed herself out and it came back and eventually killed her. And she passed away in 2004. Going backwards a little bit too, back to my mother. I've explained this, I think, on Hanging with Heavy, but I'll give you a refresher. You know, of my four grandparents, I had my grandpa Summers, who was born, I mean, died a year and 2 months before I was born. And then you had my grandma Thompson, my mom's mom, passed away in 99. And then my last two remaining grandparents, my grandma Summers and my grandpa Thompson, they both passed away 1 week from each other, with my grandma Summers going last. And oddly enough, the three that were alive in my life, they passed away all in the same nursing home. And oddly enough, they have four wings in that nursing home. My grandparents were in three of the four, all separate wings. My mom was in the fourth when she didn't pass away there. So, but I kind of consider it close enough right now. But so my mom had all that. With my grandma Summers, with about a month before she passed away, like the last year or so before that, she was living with us. We were taking care of her. And even before that, my mother lost her job at the hospital. And I'll never forget, like, if I know I have memories vivid of my mother that impacted me one way or another, good or bad. The one I remember is her coming home crying and saying that she lost her job. She got fired from her job. And that immediately woke me up, gave me adrenaline, and I felt horrible for my mother. And I think what I did is I just immediately went into work. Like, I was able to go into work early and get some like extra hours just trying to help things out. So mom lost her job. Then there was my grandmother moving in with us. And then eventually one night, my grandmother was walking to the refrigerator and she like fell down, broke her hip. And when the paramedics took her out of the trailer that we were living in, our home, that was the last time she was going to be there alive. She would pass away about a month later. And I think pneumonia was a big thing that hit her. And she passed away at like 93, at the age of 93. Again, fucking what, 25-year difference? Doing the math in my head? 25-year difference between my grandparents? And if my grandma Thompson was still alive, she wouldn't even be that close to 93? I think she'd be, well, I'd have to do the math, but I don't think it's too far off. But anyway, she still wouldn't be that age. So after my grandmother passes away, then goes next is my aunt with the, you know, the ovarian cancer taking her. This was literally the beginning of 2005. Like, it was this, January 2nd. And we benefited from that. And we received, like, I don't know how much money. It was like thousands upon thousands of dollars. Life insurance, savings bonds, investments. There was money wrapped up in it. It was fucking crazy. We were able to move out of the trailer park, buy a home, get new vehicles. I got a used vehicle, but it was because we actually knew the previous owner who turned it into a dealership, and we end up buying that car from the dealership. So everything was going good. My mom went through a lot of shit, but it seemed like, you know, this was a light at the end of the tunnel. Unfortunately, it wasn't. My father, after not even a full year after, you know, my aunt passing away and us officially getting the money. I'll put the marker at us getting money, because it technically was a little over a year from when my aunt passed away to this next event. But within that time, you know, things seemed like they were going good. My parents were happy. We actually had a house, not a trailer. You know, the fridge was always stocked. My mom's still not working. Like, when she got fired from her job, she never went back to regular working. That's all she had. So with my aunt giving us this money, she basically didn't have to work. There was plenty of money. My dad had a job that could basically pay for like a lot of the bills. We didn't have a house payment. There was no car payments. Like, life was good. My father began to be distant. And my own personal belief is my dad never truly loved my mother. He just, I don't know. My whole life, there wasn't that bond. Like, every ex that I've had, there's been at least some sort of bond. Like, we're happy together. I never seen that with my father. And on top of everything that I think I might have mentioned in the one episode about my dad, is he has another kid older than me. I'm the second child, but different marriage. Unfortunately, I don't know her. I don't know her. Well, I know her name. It was Cynthia. I've been trying to find her forever. I know very little about her, and I just keep hoping one day I will find my sister. So my dad has two children that don't speak to him. Two. Do you think the problem is us, or do you think the problem is him? I'm going with the common denominator. But anyway, back to my father. He started to become distant, and you know, he would just come home, lock himself in his office, be on the computer, and like he didn't care. My mom started to fear that he was going to leave her and take all the money. My dad thought that was kind of a crazy idea. Even speaking with him later, like, he thought that was selfish, and I will still look at it like, no, she had nothing. And if you left and took all that money, she'd be broke, and she couldn't work, and she couldn't drive. Like, she feared, and she was giving probable cause to fear because how my father was acting. In January of 2006, I was on my way to go visit an ex-girlfriend who lived in like the Menor Willoughby area. I was about halfway there, and my mom calls me and says, "Your dad just asked for a divorce. My ex told me to turn around and go home." So I did go home, but by the time I got home, like, everything was like said and done. And crazy enough, my father lived there for the next year. And then it was like summer of 2007, he finally moved out. My mother never got over my father. Always calling him and, you know, trying to get a hold of him. He's a handyman by trade, so she would call his shop a lot. She'd call his cell phone from time to time and, you know, thinking, maybe one day, maybe he'll come back. When everything was going good, my mother realized, like, how out of shape she was and how declined her health had become. So she wanted to work on it. She started going to Curves. And I don't know how many places there's Curves or even Curves are around anymore, but it was basically like the way I can describe it. It always seemed like a gym that mostly women went to, and mostly older women. It's a place that they could feel comfortable. And my mom loved it. And I think she ended up losing some weight. But it wasn't hardcore noticeable, but she was trying and she was happy. And it was around this time that, you know, my dad said he wanted a divorce, and I think she gave up. That moment was the beginning of her downfall. Emotionally, she wasn't there. She started having trouble holding her bowels and her bladder. She had, and she always wore Depends. Of course, that hadn't been going on longer than I care to remember. Like, we were still in the trailer when, you know, she was first starting to wear Depends, I believe. Not even that fucking old, like maybe early 50s, late 40s. There was a conversation I had with her in 2008, or February 2009. We were on our way to a funeral, and it was out in Salem, which is about a good hour from where I lived. 45 minutes to an hour or so, depending. So, like, we were, you know, talking, and I don't know what happened, I don't know what was said, but she basically explained or told me that her doctor thinks that she's crazy, and she, like, she said it crying. And I'm like, to me, like, it kind of made sense, like, okay, you know, you definitely have some issues. I brought that back up to her years later, and she's like, "I never said that." And I'm like, oh my god. That's one thing I hate about being an only child, is I had nobody to back me up, no one else who heard it, no one else who could, you know, just to help my cause. And I'll get kind of that later on too. But her health just was shit. Her mind was shit. She had a horrible job or time keeping friends. And in 2011, she had a heart attack. I remember where I was when I found out. I was out at the bar. Unfortunately, I couldn't go see her. She went to the hospital complaining about the chest pain, and they explained that she had like some sort of heart attack. I think that's kind of how it went. It's been a while. There's a lot of information that I've kind of pushed in my head there. But later, at the end of the week, she ended up having like a quadruple bypass, I believe it was. And I'll never forget that day. It was, I had a job that I worked nights. I worked 7 at night to 7 in the morning. And I worked in Brooklyn, which is a suburb, it's in the Cleveland area. So we lived in, no, I was living in Akron at the time. I went to work, turned around, I came home, went to where she was having her surgery at Akron General Hospital. She had already went back for surgery. There was people from her church there, technically mine too, but I haven't gone in a while. So I checked in with them to see like if everything was good and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, I need to run home. I need to change. At the time, I was wearing like my work clothes. And I'm like, I need to shower, change, and I'll be right back. And I spent that whole day. She was supposed to be in, I think, surgery till like 1 in the afternoon or so, but she ended up being in there longer. And, you know, they said, they came back, said there were some complications whenever they finally sat me down and explained, like, yeah, there was a little bit of complications, but everything is fine. She's up in her room. They told me where it was. And I remember going up there and, like, it was heartbreaking to see her like that. And she doesn't remember, or she didn't remember anything much after the surgery. I went back the next day, or the day after. Like, I think I might have stopped every day for that weekend to check on her. And, like, when I went there, she didn't remember anything from the next day when I had been there. And I had talked to her later about it. I hoped, and I thought that this was going to be a huge wake-up call for her. Like, her health was shitty. Like, I know I'm no saint. I've never been in perfect health. And I know I'm starting to get worse and worse as years go on, and that's something that, especially with right now, I'm probably going to try to change. But to when you have a heart attack, it's like, okay, you're giving a second chance at life. Work on it. Like, try to become better. And in her mind, it's kind of like what I witnessed with my grandparents. You know, if you try to tell them something, they would be like, ah, I know better. Like, oh, I'm like, this is what I wanted to do, or oh, that's good enough. And I kept telling my mom, like, okay, like, because, like, she was having trouble with walking and everything. So she needed to go out and walk more. And she lived in a nice, quiet neighborhood at that time. Like I said, I was moved out. And I'm like, okay, you know, first little bit, you know, you just walk to the edge of the driveway once a day. Do that for X, like, so long. And then, like, okay, like, do it multiple times a day. And then, like start making one of the walks longer. And there was, like, so many ways, like, for her to get in better shape. And she didn't do it. The whole time, you know, her living alone was a huge bad thing. There's multiple times she fell down, couldn't get a hold of anybody, couldn't reach the phone. She ended up, like, falling down one day, and she was, like, on the floor for, like, a day or so, I want to say. She, like laying in her own feces, basically got shingles because of it. That was the other thing, like, after I had moved out, I had finally noticed every time I came back, like, it just stunk because she didn't know how to properly take care of herself. She was constantly wetting the bed, constantly shitting herself, just kind of like throwing all her diapers and everything into a pile. It was bad. And it was the same thing when she finally moved out of the house because she, like, the money ran out and she moved into, like, luckily, like, not that far from our house. There was not necessarily assisted living, but, like, in order to live there, you had to be elderly or special needs or something, and it was, like, a reduced rate for rent, and she ended up moving there, and it turned out to be the same thing. I kind of stopped going a lot because it was just, like, okay, she wanted you to sit in her apartment, and it just stunk. It sounds like I'm talking shit about her, but it's, like, it was a part of her downfall, and I tried. Going back to being an only child, the end of this story is, my mother and I didn't speak from my birthday last year to about, like, November. I'm no saint. There's many times I've asked my mom for money because I've needed it. It's not like, hey, I want to go out and have fun. It's like, I'm having trouble with bills or something. When the last time I had asked her for money was when me and Amanda moved into this apartment. We had enough money for the apartment and for the move. But, like, that other shit that you need to move in, like, we didn't have a lot of that stuff, a lot of, like, you know, utensils and just all that kind of shit. There's just so much stupid shit that we needed. And we're like, we got help from some people, you know, housewarming gifts or Christmas presents, or because it was, you know, after Christmas. So we needed a little bit more. And my mom loaned us, like, I can't remember, $300 or $400. We were supposed to take it out of our tax money, but then, like, we needed tax money for other stuff. And that took a hit. So along as all this time was going on, and it kind of goes with me being an only child, is she had Life Alert and she abused it. Used it all the fucking time. I would get calls from Los Angeles because that's where the Life Alert call center is from. As soon as I seen it, like, I knew what it was. The sad thing is I stopped worrying because it was just like, what stupid shit now? It's like, she's fallen and she can't get up. Okay, that doesn't sound stupid, but there's been literally times it's like, oh, she can't get the remote. And there's times that she's called me. I've been in Cleveland and she's like, can you come get the remote for me? And I'm like, I'm in Cleveland. I can't. She was very demanding for that stuff. But there was one day I happened to be not too far away from her house, her apartment, and Life Alert called me. And I was like, okay. They told me what was going on. Like, maybe, I forget what she had problems with, but I was like, okay, I'm not that far away. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go stop in. I'm going to go check in. I'm going to see what's going on. And the paramedics basically told me, like, how often she uses Life Alert and or how often she's calling the paramedics. And, you know, they can't always come out for little things. And they were basically trying to say, like, not necessarily that this has to stop, but they're just like, hey, like, we might have other stuff and we don't want to leave people aside. So I was trying to convince her to go into some sort of nursing home. She ended up having to go to an assisted living place very shortly, and that was the last time I had spoke with her up until later in the year. And she got mad that I was trying to push her into a nursing home, and I was trying to explain to her that I want what's best for you. She was trying to say I was trying to take her money. I don't know how that would take her money, because honestly, I don't want to be a, you know, I'm right or told you so moment, but I believe if my mother was in a nursing home, she would be alive today. And, like, a lot of this shit wouldn't have happened, but she fought it. And what she eventually did was take me out of her will. I was, like, the only beneficiary in the will. And I was, like, the executor of the state or whatever the thing is. So she took me out and she just put up a big fight about it. So that kind of, like, pushed us apart, because, like, she was putting up this fight on my birthday. It started the week before, but I was trying to look out what's best for her. I wanted her to live longer. I'm a very angry and vindictive person sometimes, and I actually blocked my mother's number because I know she would randomly call me. She left a voicemail once. It was, like, in October or September, and I called. She answered, but she was still kind of, like, in a pissed-off mood, and... Yeah, she said that, like, I was only, like I said, only, you know, around for money and all this kind of stuff. And then she threw in Amanda saying, like, oh, it's because of her. And, like, that really ripped Amanda apart, because that's not what she's been about. And nowhere what either of us have been about. So I pushed it off a little longer. And then, you know, she started running into a lot of health risks at the end of the year. And I kind of think she figured she was going. Like, it was a matter of time. Everything was going to catch up to her. She called me from a different number, like from a hospital, left me a voicemail. I called her, and that's when we I don't want to say buried the hatchet, but we forgave each other. I was still not put into the will or put back into the will and all that kind of stuff. That's something I'm going through right now. Not for money. I'll get into kind of that later. But from like November, after we started talking, to her death, she was in and out of hospitals and nursing homes, or nursing home, probably one or two hospitals, but just still, like, I don't think she lived a full month at home. And I did to her face one day, like, when I went to his ear, and I was like, this is kind of my I told you so moment. Like, this is what you need. And she seemed to do fine when she was at nursing homes. Nursing homes, though, are a very sad place. You get people in there who are, like, medicated up, and you get people who had been in there a long time, and, you know, they're ultra depressed, and people just, like, yelling, and all. It's not a huge fan of nursing homes. So, the last time I seen her was at the nursing home. I only spoke to her once after she came back, and I think it was about 2 weeks ago, or a week or two ago or so. I talked to her about things, told her, like, some stuff going on at work, and, you know, she was worried about friends who kind of who work for the similar company. And I know, like, every time I spoke to her after we rekindled everything, I told her I loved her. Ever since her heart attack, death has been around the corner. That day that I was at work, or that week that I was at work when everything was going on with my mom, like, I was a mess. And I was so happy she pulled out of it. And when all this stuff started to happen again, like last time she went to the hospital and ended up going back into the nursing home for a while, like she fainted and she didn't know why. Like it wasn't her blood sugar or anything. Also, going back to like whenever she called me, she had a stroke. You could kind of hear it in her voice, but I don't exactly remember what was affected by it, but you could tell. And then she fell again. We haven't had an autopsy results back yet. We don't know anything, but definitely I told you so, but it kind of breaks my heart that that is how she went. Of my four grandparents, only one, far as I understand, and I don't have the full story, didn't die with everyone around them. My grandpa Summers died in his sleep at his home with my grandmother in the bed. My other three grandparents being in that nursing home, and even my aunt when she died, there was at least somebody there. I wonder how long she was laying there. I meant to call her last weekend. The original plan was to go out to lunch with my niece and her boyfriend for her 17th birthday. It was like a month past. It was whenever our schedules would line up. That's what I promised her. And we were going to also be in Ritztown because my girlfriend's nephew, or second cousin, technically not nephew, cousin's son, like it was going to be his first birthday. We were going to go out and have the first birthday party. And even I said to myself, oh, we'll go out, like I'll stop at my mom's, check in on her. Before we could go to lunch, we found out it was canceled. The birthday party was canceled. So I was like, oh shit. I'm like, I need to call my mom just to see how she is. I didn't. Things just caught up with me, and she always wanted me to be there for her more. She told me I would regret it, and I regret it a little bit, I'll admit. But the hardest thing about life is juggling everything. Juggling friendships, responsibilities, hobbies, work, relationships, friendship. It's just eventually, even family, like, you're just not around each other all the time. That's what I have. And I come from such a broken family. Of not just what I've mentioned here, but after my mom's parents died, like, that part of the family kind of went their own ways. And I don't see them enough, in my opinion, or I didn't see them enough. I had another uncle pass away on that side of the family in 2007. Random heart attack. Again, we were lucky enough to all be able to say goodbye at the hospital. When I was told about my mother, it took a couple phone calls to people for it to hit me. The first call was my dad. I did not leave a polite voicemail. I went straight to voicemail. I didn't swear or cuss at him or call him any names. I treated him almost like I didn't know him, but I kind of did. I said, hello, Dennis Summers. My name is Justin Summers. I'm just calling you to inform you that my mother, your wife, has passed away. And if there are arrangements made, I do not want to see you there. Have a good life. That's about word for word. And I honestly, as selfish as it is, I don't want to see him. I don't know if I want him at my wedding, whenever that is. I don't know if I want him around my children whenever that happens. Recently, on a side note, I've gotten back into ICP. Fun conversation for another episode. There's a song that they put out at one point called Fuck My Dad. I've played that a bunch since finding out. And that's, I've kind of transitioned a lot of my grief for my mother to anger towards him. I don't know if that's right or healthy, but it is something that I've done. After calling my dad, I called my aunt, told her, called other friends of the family, and I wanted them to hear from me. because as I'm recording this, there hasn't even been an obituary yet. And probably the only people that have found out because I've called them, somebody else somewhat related to the family has called them and told them, or I had a Facebook post about it. So I could tell people, because I had people that knew her, but I didn't feel as comfortable calling them and telling them, like, hey, my mother passed away. But it was after talking to my aunt, which I was fine in that call. And then after that, everybody I talked to, I broke down at least once. And some of it was because of the people, when they answered, were so nice. And I didn't want to be the one to have to break the news to them. They were all crushed. And I think that's maybe something that hurts so much, is having to tell people. And then, like, after talking to all these people, I had to go through realizations. Yes, death has been knocking on the door since 2011. But crossing the line into reality, I had to come to the conclusion and realization that a lot of things weren't going to happen. My mother was not going to be at my wedding. My mother was not going to see the grandkids that she wanted so much. I even thought about, and this kind of hurt, that moment at the wedding when the groom is dancing with his mother. I'm not necessarily going to get that with her. I missed out on a lot of stuff with my grandparents dying so young in my life because I wasn't inquisitive about my heritage until I was in my 20s, and they were all long gone at that point. Most of them knew. I didn't care when I was a kid. To me, I was just an American from Ohio. That's it. When I went down to Tennessee recently, I told my mom. I called her on the way back. My grandmother, my dad's mom, is from Tennessee. I don't know where. And my mom didn't remember where either. I got to tell her that, you know, I'd went to Johnny Cash's grave and how much I loved it. I got to tell her, you know, especially after we mended the fence, I told her that I met a local radio personality that I grew up listening to. If you're from the Northeast Ohio Independent, I'm totally used to saying that for wrestling cheers. If you're from the Northeast Ohio area, there's a radio station from Akron. Technically, they broadcast, I believe, in, like, in between Ravenna and Kent, Franklin Township area. It's called WNIR. Every morning, my dad would listen to the radio. Side note, and it was always the WNIR station, but back to the side note, is I've started to repeat that. I listen to a Canton show called The Stansberry Show every morning. From the moment I wake up to the moment they go off the air, and then I listen to the podcast. But one of the main hosts had come down with cancer. He's, as of this recording, still alive. But I didn't know when he was going to go, and I wanted to meet him one more time. Met him, like, a bunch when I was a kid, but, like, he doesn't remember any of those. Because he's been around radio a long time, met a lot of people, done a lot of stuff that I wasn't going to stick in his brain. Well, they started up, like, a GoFundMe for it, and I shared it, and I put a heartfelt message of how much he meant to me growing up. And they end up having a special fundraiser at a local comedy club. And he was going to be there. So I went, had a great time, and then afterwards I introduced myself to him. Wasn't sure if he was going to remember who I was, and I kind of said, like, I posted blah, 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 blah. And he was like, Justin. And I'm like, yeah. And I got to share with him, to his face, how much he meant to me. And it's like why I do stuff like this, because I listen to him every morning. And I remember calling my mom, like I said, after everything was, we worked things out, and I told him, like, yeah, I talked to Stan, and I told him about all this stuff, and she loved hearing it. This is, like, how I know to get through my life is podcasting. It's why I'm doing Hanging with Heavy. I got episodes that I want to do, but I knew I had to sit down and just collect my thoughts on my mother. With me not being the executor of the state and beneficiary, whatever, I now worry about the stuff that was in her apartment. Because there's stuff there that I want. Not necessarily stuff of value, of, you know, monetary value, but a sentimental value. She had a blanket that I had made for her on Mother's Day. Side note, that's another thing that I've realized. It's going to be a tough Mother's Day this year. But one year I bought her a blanket that I had made of our dog Coco, a chocolate French poodle, since since that Mother's Day, you know, we had to put him down like 5 years ago. It's 5 years to the month, too. I believe he was put down in February. But I had that blanket, and that's something that I want. I want Coco's ashes. There's stuff that I know from, like, Christmas trees that I want. I want, like, some certain, like, not necessarily silverware, but I want, like, certain cups that I know that she had that were technically mine. There's, like, a bunch of stuff that I know that was technically mine that she, like, took. My Grandma Summer's Bible, I know, is there, and I want it. I don't know how all this is going to work out, especially with I don't know what my father's going to do in the picture. Maybe I shouldn't have said what I said, and maybe he won't give me anything now. I want something to remember her by. I just went to my storage unit that we have here at our apartment complex. I pulled out a bunch of, like, ICP stuff that I had there. And one thing I pulled out was a Miss Piggy doll. It was like a McDonald's thing. It's a Christmas Miss Piggy. If you've seen her, you know what I'm talking about. I don't remember what the Kermit one looked like, but I remember the Fozzie Bear one. It was my aunt's. And it's like one of those things that I kind of want to keep because that's who it reminds me of. I have other stuff that's somewhere because I've done too much fucking moving in the past like 5 years. I had jewelry of my Grandma Summers and my aunt. Things that I don't know. I mean, I don't know where they're at, but there are things like help me remember them by and keep a piece of them close. And I think with my mother, I mean, you only have one mother, and I don't speak to my father. And I've tried. I've really tried with him. We had a year where we didn't speak. Like, after he moved out, there was about a year we did not speak to each other because I was pissed at him for what he did. I sucked it up and called him, and we mended the fence. He hasn't done the same thing, and that's kind of what annoys me. Back to my mom, though. I kind of imagine when my mother died. Maybe. Like, it's hard to imagine in the room because, like I said, I don't know how long she was sitting there, laying there. I don't know if it was instantaneous or what. It reminded me too much of Chris Farley. And that's the vision I have in my head. Because I've seen the photos of what he looked like when they found him. And that's what I think with her. But I just picture, I don't care what your fucking political belief is, but I'm going to go with mine and my mother's. I imagine when she got to heaven that my aunt was there. And they hugged each other. Maybe both of my grandmothers were there. I don't think my grandfather was there, but both my grandmothers were there. And they were happy to see each other. I feel like with death, I'm fairly strong. I don't hold on to it as much as I know other people do. Because I expect it. I've had this conversation with Amanda. I was born into a family that was missing a grandparent immediately. So I knew that people were going to die. I knew eventually all of my grandparents were going to die. I cried for them all, but I moved on. Amanda has a harder problem with that, and that's the other thing. She had her last grandparent pass away last month in January. And here I am a month later, having to deal with my mother dying. It said a lot, but it's definitely one of those things where life is not fair. My grandmother Thompson dying at 68. My mother dying in her 60s. I worry about my health, and that's one of the reasons I have to get back on the right track. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like my mother. I want to be better. I want to live. I have to take responsibility of things. I knew the day was coming. I thought that what the call was going to be when it came over or came through. But hearing it was rough. I will forever love my mother. For all the good she instilled in me, I know she had a bad side. I've witnessed it and I've been the victim of it. But I know so many times she was the one that had the heart of gold and she got it from my grandmother Summers. I know she did. Yes, not biologically, just being around my grandmother. She was a good soul. And I'm sad that she never got to experience the joy of being at my wedding or being around my grandkids, my children. So many times she asked me, in hindsight, I don't want, or I wouldn't have wanted to have any kids with any of my ex-girlfriends. I'm happy they're all out of my life, but to give my mother joy, this is definitely one of those moments I definitely don't like being right. Where if she would be in a nursing home, she would probably be living right now. And she would have the potential of being at my wedding, even if it's in a wheelchair.
I don't know what I'll do going forward, but I will always try hard and try to be more positive. I know this Sunday I'm going to try to go to church, her church. It'll be the last time I ever do so, but I want to do it one more time for her. At this point, this has just become rambling, and I'm sorry. I'll try to gather my composure to end this show. If you've made it through this whole podcast through me just turning on my mic and talking about my mother, I want to thank you. It's not good that I don't remember what year my mother was born. I could tell you the month and the day. I can't tell you the year. Like my dad, I can tell you his month that his birthday is, but I can't tell you the year. I want to say it was 1953 for my mom. 1953 to 2019. Jerry Jean Summers. Maiden name Thompson. I'll end this by saying goodbye, and I love you, Mom.
Heavy is the hand that wears the crown. Heavy is the hand that wears the crown.